Can I get you to stand on your feet for just a moment? Father, as we come to lift you up and to magnify you, Lord, we want to just thank you first, Lord, for your presence, Lord. We thank you for being here with us, Lord, and in our midst, Lord. We are declaring, Lord, according to your word, that wherever two or three are gathered, there you are in the midst of us. So, Father, we thank you for being here today, Lord. And now, I just pray, Lord, that every heart is open and ready to receive food from you today, that we may grow thereby. For it's in your Son Jesus' name I pray. And let the church say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. You can be seated. And I want you to turn in your Bibles with me today to John chapter 11. And hold your finger right there in John chapter 11. John chapter 11. And as you're turning there, I'm going to plant some words in your mind as you're turning there. And I got a question for you. Are you ready for the Spirit to blow His fresh power and vitality in your direction?
Amen.
Are you ready to receive all that God wants to accomplish in your life in the way of resurrection and renewal? Amen. Now, to help you prepare for your to prepare yourself for your breakthrough, I want to devote some time asking you a few simple questions today, and they'll help you examine this whole issue very personally, realistically, and thoroughly from several angles. But before we dive into them, there's one thing that I want to go back and clarify with you, something that we talked about over the last couple of months that represents the most significant, thrilling aspect that we saw from Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones. And I want us to remember again just the climax of that, of the promise that Ezekiel heard from God in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse number 12, where God says this: "Thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and raise you from your graves, O my people." That for sure is a resurrection. That's the title of the message today. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection." Now, if you were once dead and in your grave, but now you've been raised up to the out of there, then you've definitely been resurrected. No doubt about it. So with resurrection in mind, let's turn our attention to one particular direction towards Jesus Christ, and specifically to something Jesus said on the occasion when he showed up late at a house of Mary and Martha in the village of Bethany. He was late, or so everybody supposed, because he had been requested to come earlier when Lazarus, the brother of Mary and Martha, had fallen sick. In John chapter 11, verse number 17 says this: "So when Jesus came, he found that he had already been in the tomb 4 days. Now, Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had joined the woman around Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Now, Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary was sitting in the house. Now, Martha said to Jesus, 'Lord, If you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha and her naturally thought, she had only naturally thought on a distant eternal future. When she said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And then Jesus hit her with these words in verse 25. He said, I am the resurrection of life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. Now, please, don't miss the significance of those words. He was not simply saying, I myself personally will rise from the dead. Nor was he saying, I will bring resurrection life to people in the eternal future. He was saying much more than that. See, he wasn't talking about, what he was talking about was us. He was talking about now. And he went on to prove it. You see, at Easter time, people all over the world celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? 2,000 years ago, Jesus stepped forth from a tomb on a certain Sunday morning after his dead and crucified body had been placed there on the previous Friday. Listen to this. His victory over death is a verifiable fact. The most important event in human history and the guarantee of our own resurrection into eternity for all who believe. That was a verifiable fact. But on the day in Bethany, when Jesus declared that I am the resurrection, he was saying, don't consign me to your history. Don't relegate me to your annual remembrance or your once a year attendance. He says, I am the resurrection. I am the definition of rising up from the dead. And right now, I myself can rise life in anything that's dead in your existence. Somebody ought to say amen to that. See, why did Jesus delay in coming to Bethany when Lazarus was sick? Now, I believe because he wanted his followers to empirically see, meaning to rely solely on practical experience without regard for any theory or system, right? He wanted them to see experientially. He wanted them to see visually what it means that he is actually the resurrection.
Yes.
See, your personal circumstance may include dimensions and aspects that seem lifeless and hopeless. You have dreams or plans or relationships or abilities that seem to have died. And it's been so bad for so long that it seems like rigor mortis has set in.
Yes.
But in the midst of that numbness,
yeah,
and in the midst of that powerlessness and helplessness, Jesus wants you to know the real truth. Mm-hmm. And it's not that he doesn't. He it's not. I was the resurrection,
yeah,
or even I will be the resurrection when your time on earth is over.
Yeah.
But he wants you to know this. He says,
yeah,
"I am,
yeah,
the resurrection,
yeah,
right now,
yeah,
in your present,
yeah,
situation."
Yeah.
His resurrection has everything to do with anything that seems lifeless in your current experience.
Yes.
Come on, somebody.
Amen.
See, he wants to do this for you because of his love for you. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He loves you. Just because Jesus was delayed in coming to Bethany didn't mean he was lacking in care and concern for his good friend Lazarus or for his sisters Martha and Mary. In fact, when he arrived in Bethany that day, the Bible says this about him in verse number 35. It says, Jesus wept. Did you see that? Jesus wept. Now that's the shortest scripture, the shortest verse in the whole Bible. Right there. Jesus wept. And there's a whole world of meaning in it. Now, here was a human situation where death had occurred, And the response which brought forth from the heart of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was weeping.
Yes.
You've got to be assured today.
Yes.
That even though the Lord may seem to be delayed in responding to your situation.
Yes.
Or responding to your loss and lifelessness and despair, he's still feeling the same thing that you're going through.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
Since Jesus himself is the resurrection, what exactly does that mean for you and me? Well, it means especially that we who believe in the risen Savior, our Lord, we can receive three gifts from him. And he uses this story of Lazarus to illustrate each one of those for us. And he's making a contemporary application to our generation and for generations to come. Amen? Mm-hmm. Now, the first gift is the most obvious and dramatic. And it's the gift of life.
Mm-hmm.
Number one, it's the gift of life. Amen? When Jesus approached the tomb of Lazarus, a cave with a stone covering the opening, he gave these simple but astonishing words. Look at verse number 39. Start at verse number 38. He says, then Jesus again, groaning in himself, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. Now, at once, Martha asserted her practical nature. Look at the second half of that verse. Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, Lord, by this time, there's a stench. For he has been dead 4 days. In other words, the weather was warm. And the corpse of her dead brother had been lying in that cave long enough to cause an unpleasant effect.
Yes.
I mean, let's get real. This is what Martha was really saying. She's really saying, that man's flesh is rotten.
Yes.
Maggots have set in. If the rock is rolled away, we'll get hit with a stench like nothing we've ever seen or experienced before. That's what she was saying. I mean, have you ever had something die in your life? And the effects were so awful that the whole world seemed to smell rotten. Mm. It's like when you get a chipmunk or a rat or something like that caught, you know, in your attic or your basement and or gets caught in the ducts of the walls or something like that. And the results reek so bad that it permeates throughout the whole house. Anybody ever had something like that?
Yeah.
When Jesus asked for the tomb to be opened, Martha saw the situation heading from bad to worse. Right? But Jesus answered her this way, verse 40. He said to her, watch this. I want you to read this with me. He said, did I not say to you that if you would believe,
yes,
you will see the glory of God?
Amen.
He had just told her,
amen,
that I am the resurrection. Did he just tell her that? He said, I am the resurrection. And she still didn't believe him. He said like this. He said, didn't I just tell you?
Just like that.
You know how sometimes you ask God for something, and then he gives you the answer, and then you question him, and then he says, didn't I just tell you?
Amen.
If you would what? Believe. Don't miss that. You need to underline that. He said, did I not just tell you, if you believe,
yeah,
that you would see the glory of God?
Yeah.
He was telling her, keep on believing.
Yes.
And you're going to see God show up and show off.
Amen.
If you just believe him.
Mm.
Now, I know that might seem a little simple to some folks. But listen to me. He said, if you just believe, if you would just trust me, you will see the glory of God. Now, see, I don't know about you, but I want to see the glory of God.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. I want to see God's glory.
Yes.
Amen. But he said, if you just believe,
yes,
just believe. And it's really just that simple. How do you think you got salvation? Just believe. That's what glory is. And Martha and Mary and the village were about to see it occur right before their eyes. Look at verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, "Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me, but because of the people who are standing by, I said this, that they may believe that you sent me." Jesus, then he turned to the tomb, and this is what he said in verse number 43. "Now when he had said these things, he cried out in a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.'" In other words, you were sick, Lazarus, and you died. You've been locked up, lifeless and motionless and breathless in this tomb for 4 days. And furthermore, Lazarus, you stink. But now he says, get up and walk out of there alive.
Yeah.
And God is telling you, you've been dead for 4 days.
Yes.
You've been dead for 25 years.
Yes.
He says, get up and walk out of there.
Yes.
And that's all it took to make this happen, was the word of God.
Yes.
Look at verse 44. "And he who had died came out bound, hand and foot with grave clothes on, and his face wrapped in a cloth, wrapped in a cloth." The word of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of God, had the authority to bring him out because he himself is the resurrection.
Yes.
That's powerful right there.
Amen.
See, it's probably a good thing that, you know, at this point that Jesus specifically called out the name of Lazarus, because if he had only said the words, "Come out," all the other dead bodies in the cemetery would have emerged from that tomb. You know what I'm saying? As well. Amen. And which might have been more of a shock for all the citizens in Bethany that they can handle in that day. One resurrection was enough that day to make the point for all of us for all time.
Yes.
I mean, Jesus, this is what I'm saying. Jesus can visit you in your deadly, smelly situation, yes, and out of it he can bring forth life,
yes,
simply by calling your name.
Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
Amen.
And see, and that's the good news of the gift of life in Jesus Christ. He wants you to know that he does more than just raise people from the dead. He raises them from their dead situations.
Yeah. Amen.
He's the imparter of life wherever life is missing.
Yes.
See, Jesus, he stands at the tomb of our lifeless situation and says, "Did I not tell you?
Yes.
If you would just believe, you would see the glory of God."
Yes. Thank you.
He's standing right at the door of the tomb of your dead situation. He said,
yeah.
He said, "Mother, didn't I just tell you that if you would just believe,
yes,
you would see the glory of God?"
Yes.
That is powerful right there, saints. Oh my God. And he says, right now.
Uh-huh. Right now.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
Not next week or 2 weeks from now. He said, right now.
Uh-huh.
He himself is that which can show you the glory of God, no matter how difficult the situations are. No matter how difficult the circumstances are. Maybe he was delayed in coming to you, and in the meantime, your situation has grown sicker and sicker, mm-hmm, deader and deader, mm-hmm, stinkier,
yeah,
and stinkier.
Yeah.
And,
yeah,
and you're saying, why doesn't he show up?
Yes.
Because he's waiting for your faith to grow.
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
He's waiting for your faith to grow. He's waiting for you to simply believe. He assured us that if we believe, we would see the glory of,
yeah,
God.
Mm. Yes.
If we would just believe.
Yes.
So watch this. It's only our slowness. Listen to me. It's only our slowness.
Yes.
To believe. That keeps us stuck in the grave.
That's good.
Yes.
It's only our slowness to believe that keeps us stuck in the grave. Jesus says, I am the resurrection. I am the answer to your death. Whatever's killing you, I am the cure right now.
Yeah.
So why stay dead when Jesus says, remove the stone?
Yeah.
Why hang around in the graveyard when Jesus says, come out?
Amen.
Why cling to the rottenness and the stench when Jesus is offering you a fresh new life?
Yeah.
He says, come out.
Yeah.
He called him by name, Lazarus, come out.
Yes.
Nothing or nobody can make you feel as alive as Jesus Christ can.
Yeah.
Thank you.
When Jesus told Martha that I am the resurrection of life, he immediately responded with these words. Go back to verse 25. He responded immediately to these words. He said, I am the resurrection of life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die.
Yes.
Then he says, do you believe this?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
As believers in Christ, when do we die?
Mm-hmm.
He just said never.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did he just say that?
Yeah.
He said never.
Yes.
You have a promise of Jesus Christ himself on that. And the thing that represents humanity's greatest fear, the thing that people dread the most, is the one thing that's sure to never happen in the life of a believer. See, some people refuse to write out a will or take out an insurance policy because it makes them think about their death. Woody Allen said this, and I quote, he said, I'm not afraid to die. I just don't want to be there when it happens. See, death carries a stigma, no matter what term you give it or try to soften the blow. You may say, well, he laid to rest, or he passed away, or he departed, or deceased. But the fact of the matter is, of our natural human condition cannot be softened.
Yeah.
It's a fact. Amen. When babies are born, that child has already begun the march to death. Or when a man brings his wife flowers, just give it time. Those petals will start to fall off one by one. And they're fast on their way to death, reminding us that we're the same way. But the beautiful thing about knowing Jesus Christ is that you will never die.
Yes. Thank you.
Why? Because the promise of him who said, I am the resurrection.
Yes, thank you.
See, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yes.
See, through our faith in him, the moment we enter and experience the human, what human beings call death, we'll be immediately translated into the Lord's presence without ever experiencing the thing that we fear the most.
Yes.
See, Jesus, he invaded the realm of death with his own resurrection from the dead. Am I right about it?
Amen.
See, in our experience, it means that he's caused death itself to die.
Yes. Amen.
You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got me, right? You picking up what I'm laying down?
I'm there with you.
So regardless of how dead and run down our physical existence becomes in this world, you are in passion of the eternal life and all that means. Amen? See, $100 bill can get crumpled and faded and tethered and dirty, but it's still worth $100.
Yeah.
Am I right about it? It hasn't lost its inherent value. And you can even take it to the bank and trade it in for another clean $100 bill. Am I right? But listen, this is the good part. Because you belong to Jesus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You have an inherent eternal value.
Yes.
Amen. A value that death can never touch or tarnish.
Yes.
No matter how dilapidated and worn and wrinkled your physical body becomes.
Yeah.
And the day is approaching when you'll trade in that physical body for a new one that will last forever.
Amen.
Amen.
See, at the command of Christ, Lazarus stepped forth from the grave. Look at this, verse 44. Go back to verse 44. He stepped forth from the grave, verse 44, and it says, and he who had died came out bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was wrapped with cloth. Right? He was alive.
Yes.
But still had grave clothes on. Right?
Yeah.
He was alive, but he still had grave clothes on. Right? In other words, he was still stuck in the trappings of death.
Yeah.
And needed to be set free.
Yeah.
So Jesus at once gave another command. Look at the second half of that verse. He said, loose him and let him go.
Yeah.
Mm. Amen. Yeah.
That's good.
He spoke to that situation.
Yeah.
Take your hands off my sister.
Yeah.
Take your hand off my brother. Come on, somebody.
Yeah.
He'd already given life to Lazarus. Now he added the gift of liberty. That's the second gift that you get from God.
Amen.
The life of liberty. And this is what I'm saying to you today. Jesus can unwrap you from whatever has had you bound and holding you hostage. I need to say that again.
Amen.
Jesus can unwrap from you whatever has been holding you bound and holding you hostage. He can loosen you from the things that have entangled you and tied you up. See, listen, you made wrong decisions, wrong turns. You headed in the wrong direction and the results have led to your captivity. See, you're tired of being bound and gagged and held hostage. You're tired of everything else controlling you instead of God controlling you.
Yes.
And the good news in Jesus Christ is today is your day of liberation.
Yes, thank you.
You've been set free.
Yes.
See, he comes to release you, the scripture says. He comes to set you free to become all that God made you to be.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus.
Just like a butterfly. Or butterflies, when they're free to leave the trappings of a cocoon, right?
Mm.
They spread their new wings to fly, right?
Yeah.
Watch this. So many people are needlessly unhappy because they never soared upward.
Amen.
To become what God has created them to be. Amen.
Yeah.
They're still trapped in caterpillar clothes.
Mm.
They're still cocooned in the old way.
Yes.
But Jesus set you free to be what he made you to be. Amen. In fact,
Amen.
Luke chapter 4 verse 18 says that he was sent to proclaim liberty to the captives, right?
Yes.
And to set at liberty those who are oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And his freedom is true freedom.
Yes.
See, if the Son sets you free, then you're free indeed.
Yes.
Amen. You don't have to spend any more time trying to be what other people tell you to be. You got to hear what I'm saying.
Yes.
You don't have to be the least concerned about the image that television and Hollywood holds up, you know, to you as the idea. There's never, any freedom in that, traveling down that path. See, Jesus alone can set you free on your personal road to perfect liberty.
Yes. Thank you.
Amen. He alone can set you free for the purpose for which you've been created.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this liberty doesn't mean doing whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Watch out.
Back up now, Pastor. Come on now. See, instead, it means being free to do whatever God wants.
Amen.
Right? It means freedom to be all that God wants you to be. See, he still has boundaries for us. I mean, see, you can't have freedom in football without sidelines, right? You can't have freedom in a basketball game without foul lines, and you can't have freedom in a tennis game without the baselines. Am I right about it?
Mm-hmm.
So you've gotta have boundaries in order to express the freedom.
Yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And within that perfect boundaries, that God provides, He sets us loose to attain and achieve our perfect fulfillment. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, he gave you life, and he gave you liberty. Now, there's a third gift that comes with the resurrection.
Amen.
Now, after rising Lazarus from the dead, Jesus soon visited Bethany again. So he gave, you know, they gave him a dinner. And Martha served. Watch this, verse number, chapter 12, verse 2 says. Martha served. They made him supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Lazarus was the one reclining with him at the table. See, Jesus had given him liberty. He had given him life. And now he added to them the opportunity for Lazarus to be with him, to recline and dine with him in intimate fellowship. Mm-hmm. In his gift of resurrection, Jesus not only gives you life, he not only gives you liberty, but he gives you the gift of love.
Amen.
Mm. See, he wants to give you love so that you don't have to keep searching for it in all the wrong places. Come on, somebody.
Amen.
See, we look high and we look low and you're tired of, you know, you try to settle for a little satisfaction over here or a little fulfillment over there, yet none of it works for long.
Yeah.
But Jesus says, I'm what you're looking for forever.
Yeah.
Because he says, I am the resurrection.
Yeah.
So he puts it this way in Revelation chapter 3:20. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock.
Mm.
If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him.
Yes.
And he with me.
Yes.
But he's standing at the door and he's knocking.
Yes.
He wants an invitation for you to let him in.
Mm.
Now, in the Bible, eating isn't mostly about food. Eating in the Bible is mostly about fellowship.
Mm.
Right? God doesn't want any impersonal distance in your relationship with him.
Mm. Okay.
He wants closeness. He wants to be like he wants it to be like having a candlelight dinner.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm. In other words, he's offering intimacy. Mm. He's offering intimacy of fellowship. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right. Because intimacy breeds life.
Mm.
Mm. See, a woman who's pregnant didn't get that way by looking in the mirror. She got that way because there was some intimacy somewhere, right? And the intimacy has a way of creating new life.
Mm. Amen.
Mm. You know I'm setting you up for the marriage conference, right?
Mm-hmm.
See, and others will also find out when a woman is carrying new life because it has a way of becoming visible.
Amen.
Right? So she can hide it for a little while, but as the new life begins to percolate within her and grow, it'll manifest itself. Right? And she won't be able to keep it to herself any longer. That's also how others know when you're experiencing intimacy with Jesus.
Yes.
As we recline with Jesus,
mm-hmm.
we get pregnant with the reality of God's glory on the inside of us.
Yes.
Mm. And then it grows, and then it shows.
Mm. That's good.
Right? There's a gleam in your eye. There's a liveliness in your step. Amen. There's a joy and peace in your attitude. And there's love and patience in our relationships. Come on.
Yes.
It's an expression of new life. All because the presence of the one who says, I am the resurrection, is walking with you, through you. Amen.
Amen.
It's showing up in your new life. Now, If not, then I want you to know for sure that Jesus is still in the resurrection mood. He's still doing it today. He's still summoning forth the dead from the tombs. God is still calling out of his promise from the valley of the dry bones. He's saying, behold, I will open the graves and rise you from your graves.
Yes.
Oh, you people. So my prayer for us today is that you will reflect seriously on these simple questions. And then here's the hard part. Answer them honestly. Because I believe they'll help you discover God's sufficient supply for all your spiritual needs. So you can step forth anew from lifelessness and dryness and enjoy a resurrection life of consistent passion and celebration. If you receive that today, come on, stand on your feet and give God some praise. Amen. Come on, saints, stand on your feet.